Good. Good morning. Okay, today is Tuesday, March 25, 2025. Work Commission of the Port of Houston Authority, 9:15 a.m. I'll call the meeting order. So let's just start with some quick comments. Thank you for being here. Before I get into the regular business, I want to take a moment to remember former Mayor Houston, Mayor and Congressman Sylvester Turner, who passed away earlier this month. Commissioner Congressman Turner was champion of our city and of our poor, and leaves a tremendous legacy. We know his contributions and dedication to public service will have lasting benefits for Houston and our communities overall. Just a quick, I'll take a quick moment to talk about my relationship with Sylvester Turner, who was mayor. And this would start, well, I worked with him actually when he was his first time for mayor, his second time and his third time, when he actually won. But let me tell you a story about in December of 2018, 1 week before Christmas, the mayor called me and asked me if I wanted to help the Houston grow even more than I had in other jobs that I've had, including Houston First and Harris County Houston Sports Authority and other positions. I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, you've heard of the Port of Houston, haven't you?" And I was like, "Sure, I know that there's Port of Houston." Well, we're looking for a new chairman for the Port of Houston, and I thought you might be interested in that job. So he recruited me, and here we are today. So I really appreciate his thoughtfulness and his contribution to the city. It's really sad to lose somebody as young as you. And I know that everyone in this room, especially people that were really good friends with him, like Mr. Jones, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So moving on, shifting gears a little, I want to officially welcome Roland Garcia to the table, our newest port commissioner. Roland? Roland is an esteemed attorney and an active community leader, participating in many, many boards. Prior to his appointment on the Port Commission Board, Mr. Garcia served as vice chairman of the Board of Pilot Commissioners at Harris County Ports and served as the chairman of the transition committee for the newly created agency. And I remember Roland and I having meetings about it because I was still the chair of the pilot board, and that was when the state legislature pulled apart the pilot board and the Port Commission. And it was a really fun time working with you, Roland, and we made a lot of progress, and the pilot board today is better for your service and creating that value a long time. So welcome to the Port Commission.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We are looking forward today in our regular meeting, as well as our community relations meeting that's coming up later. We hosted our first PCCAC meeting, the Port Commission Community Advisory Council, last week. We have many new members in this group this year representing the community throughout the Houston-Shiptown area. We're excited about their inputs and ideas. Commissioner Jones and Commissioner Garcia both attended that meeting as well, along with our management team. And last week, we congratulated Congressman Brian Babin being named the Port Person of the Year by the American Association of Port Authorities. The Congressman continues to be a steadfast advocate for the port and the maritime industry across this nation. Spearheaded the effort to increase the federal cost share of maintenance and construction to 55 feet in the award of 2024 bill, which is a huge win for ports across the U.S. I want to take a moment to talk about some of the conversations that we're having at the federal level. I heard there's some things going on up there in Washington. I'm sure you're aware of the tariffs that have been in the news. The port team has been working with our customers and port users to gather data on the potential effect of the recent announced Section 301 fees on Chinese-built vessels. that report called the potential impacts of the other tariffs being considered. We know that if implemented, these tariffs and fees would have an impact on our customers and on the industry that relies on the ports. For example, our container customers have reported potential cost increases as high as $600 to $800 per container. Our chemical and bulk customers have referenced even larger impacts to their costs and commercial viability as well. We support the end goals of Blue Valley Lines in American shipbuilding industry and reshoring critical cargo handling equipment, but we want to ensure that it is done while avoiding negative impacts to our industry and American worker and consumer. Ultimately, our role at Port Houston is to be an advocate for maritime economic activity in our region, and we're committed to being that voice. We're having and will continue to have important conversations on this topic. We will continue to work alongside our partners to achieve better outcomes for the ports, our communities, our customers, our workforce, and the nation. So these are interesting times, and I know Charlie's going up to BC next week. Today, I knew it was Wednesday, but maybe I thought it was the next Wednesday to testify in some of the panels and discussions that the administration is having. So I appreciate that. I just want to thank all the team that we have here, everybody in this room, Port Houston team, the pilots, our partners at the ILA, the seafarers, I mean, all the folks that work in and around the port, you know, happy spring, and hopefully the weather will be better and we'll be able to do a lot of business the next few weeks. Commissioners, comments?
Yeah, I just want to say, Mr. Chairman, that I want to thank the staff that we've been working with to try to increase our production and get more efficient on the jobs that we have. And Ryan and his group and everybody has went out of their way to accommodate us to make the changes that we need to make. And we're very happy with the direction everything is going.
Great to hear.
Being a new commissioner, I've gone through the last few weeks orientations and meetings, and it's just been so impressive, the knowledge and responsiveness and professionalism of staff and information they have and collecting it and a moment's notice. And it's probably, you know, I've been on a lot of boards and there's not a better staff, it's second to none. And I just want to thank you, Charlie, and your team, everyone. They've been very welcoming and very helpful. So thank you all.
Great. Anybody else? Mr. Jones, you look like you want to say something.
Well, I was going to say it all happened this last year since I've been here. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It wasn't there
before I got here. Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. Good job.
Before that, we had a tomorrow word.
Yeah, right. No, but Rick, I didn't want to thank you for his comments about Congressman Turner. He's a dear friend, 44 years. And, mm-hmm. And if someone told me you just don't replace 44-year-old friendships, you know, they're not lying around anywhere. So. We'll certainly miss him, but he was an absolute, you know, public service. You know, he loved it. I mean, he absolutely loved it. You look at his schedule, and I used to tease him all the time because he was out there so much, you know, in the community. I said there must be four or five other Sylvester Turner doubles somewhere. There's no way somebody can be in five different places at the same time. But he managed to do it. But he absolutely loved being out in front of the community. Beautiful service last Saturday, and these will certainly be missed. But thank you for the comments.
No question, absolutely. Okay, anybody else? All right, let's go to approval of the minutes from the work commission meeting on February 19th. For an election?
I'll move.
Second. Okay, aye.
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 Okay, Charlie, I think you're up.
Thank you, sir. I'll tell you, I had my heart drop out of my chest when I saw the first look at the February financials. February was a tough month throughout the whole port, and you're going to hear more about it in the operational perspective. But I also want to leave with a very positive note. February was caused by weather events. We had extreme fog, also a leap year the year before, so we had one last day. We had about 7.5 times more fog in this last February as we did in the prior years. It was a very tough weather month, not in Houston, but the entire South U.S. And so we had a lot of impact to the movement of vessels and then the related economy. What I'll tell you were the thanks and the gratification was, you know, the worry, is this the tariffs, is this some other unknown in the world economy that's all of a sudden impacting us? The bounce back we had in March in the first 2 weeks was shocking. I'm going to leave Ryan to talk about it, but all is good. So when Ryan gets into some of that information, we'll give you more of an update. So March was a very strong bounce back in the first 2 weeks. And since our last Port Commission meeting, we've been very, very active on the federal level and the state level. We joined 22 seaports, Texas seaports, of the Texas Ports Association to go advocate at the state for infrastructure funding for all ports. If you recall, last session was the first time Texas ports were funded by the state. We received $200 million across all ports, and the Port of Houston was benefiting $36 million for some wharf improvements at Barber's Cut, project that's doing very, very well. So we're trying for at least that same $200 million. We've made good progress, and we'll see how that falls out for the supplemental state bill this session. We also want to very much thank our Houston delegation for fighting so hard in this effort. And port our champions have been Senator Carol Alvarado, Marianne Perez in particular, who are filing our omnibus bill for the Texas Ports Association, as well as the entire rest of the delegation. Everybody's lining up and working hard. The state did a study on the effect of the $200 million last session. They determined that the economic payback to the state of Texas was $53 every dollar they spent. So multiply that $200 million by 53, some good grain, so feeding that golden goose, helping the economy for all of us. So it's very nice to see. Now, earlier this month, our Port Houston police officers and emergency management staff participated in a career law day at the High School of Law and Justice to connect students interested in careers in law enforcement, security, and emergency management. This was our seventh year to participate in this outreach program. The team is proud to share their expertise and to help inspire the next generation of law enforcement professionals. So our maritime education programs, it's deep. It goes across all facets of it. This is just one of the latest I wanted to express with you. Speaking of future workforce, this Friday is our annual Maritime and Logistics Youth Expo at the San Jacinto Maritime Campus. We're going to have over 30 industrial exhibitors, including presentations by mariners, topics like towboats, harbor tugs, barges, shipping, forklifts, dredging, survey vessels, and many more different activities to showcase the careers in the maritime and logistics environment that these high school students can do through blue-collar work immediately after high school or through a further college education program. So we're very much looking forward to hosting those students in our programs this year, and for the first time, hosting students from other campuses who've also attend the expo. Just heard, Maria, how many are we expecting, students are expecting? So about 400 high school students will get this opportunity. That's a really cool program. And with that, I will conclude my remarks, rely on the staff to cover in more detail of all the great things we've done, unless there's any questions.
Commissioners, any questions? Okay. All right, let's move on then to public appearance. Public comment. We have Joe Jennings here in person, I believe. There you go. From the Schiller Institute. Yes, good morning. Joe Jennings here with the Schiller Institute. I'm sure that everyone here has heard about the surprise purchase by BlackRock of Port Balboa and Cristobal on either end of the Panama Canal, with all this scary talk about China. The transaction is actually for 45 ports spread all around the world, listed in your package. Who's selling? Who's buying? What's really going on? What does it mean for the Port of Houston? First, the seller, C.K. Hutchison, is not really Chinese at all. It's British. It was chartered as a protected entity of the British Empire
Back in the 1840s, the empire grabbed the island of Hong Kong as booty in the first of its opium wars against China, which it waged for the free market right to flood China with opium, addict its population, and drain its treasury to pay for it all. Now, Hutchison is technically based in Hong Kong, but it's incorporated 2,000 miles away in the Cayman Islands, another British protectorate infamous for offshore banking, hedge fund operations, and drug money laundering, crown secret. Now, the buyer is BlackRock, CEO Larry Fink, who manages some $16 trillion of other people's money, investing in all sorts of things through computerized trading and turning its speculative gains into acquiring physical assets, including ports. The company made a bundle on the mortgage crash, which it helped bring on, a bundle on the bailout, which it oversaw, and it used those profits to buy the British Barclays Global Investments. Now, recently, BlackRock has become the biggest independent single owner of Bitcoin, and with the nations exiting the dollar right now, not showing up at the Treasury auctions, President Trump unwisely signed an executive order which allows the Bitcoin traders to buy Treasury bills at face value. So when the crypto bubble crashes, and I assure you it will, they may take the U.S. Treasury down with it. Now, there's another reality at work here, which the Schiller Institute and Lyndon and Helga LaRouche have nurtured for decades. Despite ferocious opposition from London, Wall Street, and the IMF, the growing alliance of BRICS nations, coupled with the expanding Belt and Road Initiative, are pooling their resources to finance the creation of new platforms for human development, water, rail, irrigation projects, physical infrastructure, especially in the global south. The BRICS is not some evil Chinese plot to destroy the dollar. The dollar is destroying itself through crazy speculative activity and permanent wars. To the global south, the dollar has become an instrument of resource looting and permanent indebtedness, also known as neocolonialism. Okay. 30 seconds?
Okay, go ahead.
Next month, April 2025, is the 250th anniversary of the shot heard around the world in Lexington, Massachusetts, that sparked the revolution, which brought our nation into independence of the British Empire. It's time to junk British geopolitics and free market chicanery. And if China has uninhibited commerce throughout the hemisphere, it's to everyone's benefit. If BlackRock uses its power to restrict China, I guarantee the Port of Houston and is going to be whacked mightily, and the world. So I put a reference on the back of your thing where you can go, the website, schillerinstitute.com, and I really like you guys. This is just such a beautiful example of America at its best, what you do at the Port of Houston. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, next up is Eugenia DeMuth. Go later. Are you on the are you in person or on the, this list?
Didn't get confirmation.
Okay. Are you online? Can you hear us?
Yeah. Did you call my name? I wasn't sure.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Sorry. No. That we'll go ahead and go to Rondi Firmino. Go ahead, Rondi.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Erandi Treviño. I'm here today representing the Raices Collab Project. I'm one of the co-founders of this organization. It's a community-driven organization founded by five Latina women. We're rooted in the belief that communities are stronger when we come together, share resources, and lift each other up. Our mission is to amplify voices, foster civic engagement, and champion quality of life, focusing specifically on our communities, including the protection of valuable resources such as clean air, water, and land. But really, we're here because we're wanting to bring in a breadth of voices, a variety of voices, the diverse voices that exist already in our communities. And we're hoping that will be helpful to inform the decisions of the Port of Houston. Despite a recent article, I don't, or like a quote on a recent article, I don't blame all my issues on the Port of Houston, but I do recognize the power and the responsibility that comes with the port's work. And so I'm hoping again that we can bring the community element forward, especially right now when we're seeing certain things happen. Like, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but Texas recently recognized a 250 square foot cancer cluster to the east of the ship channel. And that's only 250 square feet, in my belief, is because it was only evaluating that much of the territory. So I really do believe that certain other neighborhoods, such as Magnolia Park, and Channel View also, actually, I'm sorry, Channel View was part of that cancer cluster, but there are other unidentified cancer clusters out there. In the last month, two members of Congress have also passed away from cancer. That's the third one in the last year who has died from being sick. And so I bring this forward again just to kind of bring light to the fact that there are effects that to our health that come with the cost of or come as a cost of operations. And so I hope that our organization can be brought in whenever community voices are needed, community opinions want to be tapped in. And so we're happy to take on that role. A couple of plans that we have coming up. We're hosting Earth Day on April 20th in Mason Park, which is not far from the channel. And so we welcome all of you to attend. We expect a lot of community members to be there. We're going to be providing a lot of different resources and really a good time. We're trying to pour positive things into our community, including educational workshops that we will let you guys loop you guys into as well.
You're done now.
I'm sorry?
I think your time is up. Thank you.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you so much. I'm done.
Yeah, thank you so much. Did we get the other person who was signed up? Okay. All right, thanks. Show up a little. Thank you. Okay, let's go then to the agenda on executive. So on executive, Derek Henry is going to walk us through that. Derek, good to see you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, colleagues, and guests. I'm Kerry Kinney. I serve as Chief Government and Public Relations Officer for Port Houston. I come before you this morning seeking renewal of our annual contract for our two consultants, Terry Simmons with Mike Toomey and Associates, Jennifer Brown with Brown Consultants. Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, there are no changing costs. These two consultants, they work with us year-round, helping us with our advocacy efforts with the state legislature. With that being said, I seek your approval for items 1 through 3. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Jackson.
Second, let me correct your name first.
Mr. Henny.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it that way. I did. I apologize.
It's all good.
All right. Any questions or comments? Okay. All in favor say aye.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Henny.
All right. Mr. Garcia, welcome.
Thank you.
Business equity, we have no items. We have no infrastructure. So, Lori, nice to see you.
Good morning. Welcome. Happy spring. Just limited updates on for channel infrastructure. Bid opening with the Army Corps of Engineers of Project 11, Segment 4, Bowie 8 Placement Area Construction. It's this afternoon. So that's a monument for the Army Corps, and with construction expected to start hopefully May, June of this year. Also, another exciting update, a few weeks ago, the Port submitted a letter of intent to the Army Corps of Engineers. Basically, that letter of intent will go with their advocacy efforts to try to get, funding requests for Project 12, and hoping to get that kicked off in a feasibility study, hopefully later this year or sometime next year. And then finally, Channel Real Property and the community team held a public meeting on March 4th in Baytown to present and answer questions on the proposed changes to the barge fleeting leasing policy. That meeting was well-intended, attended, including Commissioner Don Carlos, who was there to provide opening and well-received remarks. There was approximately 50 or so residents with a lot of great questions and feedback, and then that will be presented later today at the governance meeting. So with that, Channel Infrastructure has 8 items for your consideration and approval. I'd like to highlight just 3 of them. Item H2 includes the approval of a change order for Callan Marine to perform debris removal as part of the Segment 1C contract. The debris has been determined as not being typical, kind of outside the general template, and to prevent future maintenance impact. We recommend removing that in entirety and up to the slope to make sure there's no future maintenance issues for the ourselves or the Army Corps. Item H3 is an adjacency barge fleeting lease to increase the submerged land lease acreage by 14 or so acres for turn services, and this area lies south of the barge channel in the upper San Jacinto Bay. And then for Commissioner Clunan, item H4 provides renewal of the center point pipeline licenses and transmission lines. And with that, I respectfully request for your approval of the 8 items H1 through H8.
Any motion?
Motion.
Second. I'm just going to point out that Commissioner Clunan is going to abstain on item 4, is it center point energy?
Glad they gave you your home just once. You didn't have to refuse from the whole list. I think you've worried about.
Any questions or comments?
Quick Go question, ahead. And this relates to item 7 and 1 commercial. So LBC Houston LP is changing ownership to Mitsui OSK.
That's right.
But we only need to change the lease and action on lease and not this item.
Yes, sir. Change of control, no other change.
And they're still going to operate under LBC Houston LP.
Yeah.
So it's just changing the ownership.
That's right. Mitsui, they're Japanese, right? Mitsui is Japanese, correct?
That's correct.
Any other questions or comments? I do enjoy the lease on number 3 of submerged land. Okay. And hard to deal with lands that are up and are. And get to some barge fleeters, which is great.
Yeah.
Okay, so all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is Mr. Mosley. Don, good to see you.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Great morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to be here today on this beautiful spring day. Just wanted to report on a couple items before I jump into today's agenda items. Things are going well in the commercial group. I'd like to be happy to report that we were recently at a conference, the Trans-Pacific Maritime Conference, together with our operations team and our commercial team, and Charlie, our CEO, out in Long Beach, meeting with customers and executives in the container industry. It was a short trip. It was a whirlwind trip, packed full of a lot of insightful, valuable meetings with our top customers of our Bayport and Barber's Cut container facilities. Our economic development team has also kept very busy attending the Texas Economic Development Council Winter Conference, working with regional and local economic development agencies, including the Governor's Office of Economic Development and other teams in order to attract and develop business for the region. Today, we're working on a $1.5 billion request for information for a potential project to bring in sustainable aviation fuel into the Houston Ship Channel. That, among other projects that are now under works through our economic development group, we're looking to attract and develop more jobs and more economic impact along the Houston Ship Channel. With that, we have 2 items before you today for your consideration. One is real estate related. It's a change of control. As you mentioned, Commissioner Don Carlos, there is a change of control on one of our existing tenants. That's the only change that's being made to that lease. And the second is for a competitive study that we're working on today. And with that, I would seek your approval on items I-1 and I-2.
So moved.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There are no items. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
No items under finance. on infrastructure. We're going to start with Jessica. And then Rich.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me go out of turn this morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about item K2 on the agenda before Rich gets up and talks about the remaining items. We are very excited this morning to bring to you the recommendation for approval for the design, fabrication, delivery, commissioning, and personal training of the 150-passenger electric diesel hybrid vessel to replace the existing MV Sam Houston. We do have a picture slide up there showing a rendering of the new vessel. This is very exciting. It's been underway for quite some time now. As you'll recall, back in 2023, we did the first advertisement, and it resulted in one bid response equating to almost $9 million. So we did reject it and did a lot of due diligence over the past year, thanks to Corey, y'all, who's behind me, and Rich and the team, Maria and her team, for doing all their due diligence and the outreach there. We were excited to receive three bids, all of them over budget, but we do, given the time frame, we do think it's best to move forward with this. The MV Sam Houston has been serving the port for 67 years and averages 30,000 visitors every year. And the current age of the Sam is causing extended maintenance costs and downtime that impacts regularly scheduled tours. Some of the other shortcomings include the fact that the vessel is not ADA accessible, has a residential AC unit, which causes maintenance issues, and is not environmentally friendly. So with this new contract, the electric diesel hybrid vessel will be procured to provide inclusive access to terminal tours, expand Port Houston's maritime education outreach, and reinforce our commitment to environmental sustainability and carbon neutrality. So with that, any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And we will also be discussing them a little bit more detail in the Community Relations Committee, but we wanted to present this more in fuller detail during the Port Commission meeting.
It's supposed to be in April of next year, around there?
So after we get through contracting, it should be about 12 to 14 months. So that's about the timeline.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Rich, any other items?
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Just an additional shout out to Corey. You want to stand up so we can see you? I don't know if Dean is in our procurement department, so. So they have jumped through hoops twice, so they need a double shout out. And just another comment on the hybrid electric nature of the vessel. It's going to cost a little bit more to be hybrid electric, but the operations cost savings are going to offset that over the life of the vessel. And what we're not counting is about $300,000 per year of emissions reduction. If you monetize the amount, the 1,000 tons of carbon dioxide that's going to be eliminated, versus the current one. It's a big hit on the, or positive hit on the air quality of the region. Okay, a few highlights. Over the last month, Port Houston has met with several entities focused on initiating sustainable activities that are consistent with our sustainability action plan, including alternative fuels bunkering in the port area. We also hosted NAMIPA, that's the North American Marine Environmental Protection Association, on a boat tour because they were in town for their annual operations program that was hosted by the Houston Pilots. So thank you to the Houston Pilots for that as well. There was a dialogue between the pilots and Coast Guard. Yesterday, we met with TxDOT to discuss a portfolio of projects that can benefit from state funding. We toured 13 TxDOT staff and subject matter experts through the port terminals. Thank you to Ryan and Mike Schaffner and his team and the planning team and the grants team, all making a team effort. The dust appears to be settling on the grants uncertainty. As you know, in January, there was some executive orders putting all federal disbursements on hold. We went through an exercise to judge whether those were high risk, low risk, and or medium risk.
The spectrum of reaction from granting agencies ranges from business as usual to we can't talk to you. The latter reaction was a month ago. Last week, that funding agency came back and said, we can talk to you, let's go forward. So the dust appears to be continuing. We think that most of these grants are either going to get back on track or they are on track. So we're happy to see that. Next week, there's a few events happening. There's a meeting with Port of Seattle, who's coming in here to learn about what Houston can do and does in the energy space. And we're facilitating a meeting between Port of Seattle, Port of Houston, and some hydrogen experts. There is a hydrogen conference next week at which several people are speaking on the role of ports in the hydrogen economy. Community and workforce development. So Devin Short and Maria Geary are among those panelists. You just committed, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then the Port of the Future Conference, which last year Commissioner Rob spoke at on the issue of workforce development. So a lot of that stuff is happening. Very excited. James O'Brien from our cybersecurity, our information technology, is speaking at the Port of the Future on some cybersecurity issues. So a lot happening. So I'll move on to the items. I'll highlight items K1 through K4. K2 is the boat has been spoken about. Very excited about that. K1 is for clearing a 30-acre parcel on Red Bluff Boulevard. That's really about getting properties ready for marketability. Because of the growth, there's a constant demand for near port properties, and so we are clearing that, mitigating the wetlands, and making sure that that property is available to do work that supports the port business. And K3 and K4 are coordinating design and construction of repairs to Wharf 8, which a vessel collided with last month. And we want to put that facility back in service as soon as possible because it's making a lot of money for the port. And it's also the place where the Navy Fleet Week is going to want to park their vessels. So we want to get that back in shape. With that, I'll take questions or ask for approval for the slate of infrastructure RCAs.
So moved.
Any questions or comments?
I was just going to say, is there anyone from Carlson McLean here?
Anyone from what?
On K1. Only reason I asked, so as the female sport commissioner, I just have to say I'm really excited about this one because they're a women-owned business. Mm-hmm. From my understanding, they were a sub a few times, and this is their first prime contract. Right. I just want
absolutely
very proud right. of that and happy for them and happy for support. So.
Roger, do you know if they're here today? No, they're not here today.
But kudos to them. Just wanted yeah. to
and that reflects the efforts of our board with the mentoring, and they were a sub, and now they can be a prime. That's happened a couple of times now, so it's.
And thank you for your leadership in helping that.
Thank you.
Rich, how big is that track on Red Bluff, and does it have Red Bluff access?
Yeah, it's on Red Bluff Boulevard. It's 30 acres.
30. I mean, that's an increasingly hot area for logistics. So mm-hmm.
Yes,
they should be very, very marketable.
I just want to comment on it. There was mention about Houston pilots and collaboration with the Coast Guard and the board. And I want to give a shout out to the pilots who are here, Captain Clint Winiger and Captain Matt Glass. I had the pleasure of working with them on the pilot board and the whole group, as well as you, Chairman. And they also checking it out. And I'm going to miss you guys, but invite me to your parties, okay?
I bet you could still get a ride on a pilot. Yeah.
There's not much that happens around here that doesn't involve the pilot, so we could finish it right.
So look, you and I are buddies, right? I'm the one that always congratulates the pilot.
I want
to make sure you reckon that you recognize that I did it first.
Still
learning. All right.
Still learning.
Okay. I'm still learning. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, maintenance. Nathan Fabian is up. Nathan?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I'll be presenting the agenda items on behalf of the Maintenance Division. But before I do, I'd like to provide a few highlights from our division over the last few weeks. As part of our strategic goal for people and organization, we were able to enhance the employee experience by providing crane maintenance training for crane technicians at the Barber's Cut and Bayport Container Terminals. This was in collaboration with a vendor named Port Technical Services. This is only phase one of the quarterly training that we're committed to for our employees in our division for 2025. We also successfully completed an April 2024 Port Commission approval project in which we fully replaced the Festoon system on one STS crane at Barber's Cut and recently the STS crane at Barber's Cut at Bayport. Spry grant-funded equipment has begun receipt at both container terminals, but Barber's Cut has received 7 of 10 yard tractors, and Bayport has received 4 of the 10 yard tractors through the 2024 Spry grant program. Last week, the entire HVAC system at our Bayport Fire Department has been completely replaced internally by our HVAC team, ensuring improved climate control and reliability for our 24-hour emergency response team there. We do have 8 items on the agenda. I would like to recognize 3 of those. Starting with L1. In 2024, we started to see an influx of out-of-gauge cargo that was exceeding the lifting capacities of our existing equipment. So our action plan was to seek additional equipment to see what would be the best fit for us. And where we landed with that was a rental agreement with Top Lift North of America that started in May of 2024. We extended it in October and again in February of 2025. This machine has successfully handled over 7,000 out-of-gauge units. It now supports loads up to 100,000 pounds. It's stacking containers 5 high, 4 deep, and offers a greater flexibility than what the port's used and owns as, and been using for a long time as top loaders, which are really only one-directional movement. We've seen a success in this. We purchased a reach stacker at Bayport, and we're asking for approval for Barber's Cut. Next, I would like to take your attention to L4. In August of 22, the Port Commission approved the largest purchase of cranes, from conception of the RTGs. Out of those 26, 12 were tailored specifically for Bayport. We're now asking for approval to purchase an additional 16 for Bayport. These will be the first generation at Ports Houston that are 1/6 containers stacking units, setting the new standard moving forward while continuing to expand our hybrid fleet. With these additions, Bayport's hybrid RTG fleet grows to 46 units. The need for these RTGs was determined using our analytical business model to support the current and projected growth while improving our truck turn times at the terminal. Bayport is also scheduled to receive 4 STS cranes in April of 2026, in which these cranes would arrive shortly after to help support those capacity. Over the past decade, the Port Commission has approved and awarded a total of 75 RTGs to cranes. The next item, which is L5, the sole source award, the Coney cranes, for the ability to install and add additional operational features to 8 container yard cranes at Barber's Cut. In July of 2024, the Port Commission approved an award for Coney cranes to retrofit from the original diesel engine setup to the hybrid unit. This project is in conjunction with that one, but that project allowed for grant funding reimbursements. The alignment with this project allows us to unify the technology that is arriving on new cranes and technology that we've added on several cranes, 33 specifically at Barber's Cut. With that, those cranes have auto steering, anti-stack collision, truck lift prevention, as well as gantry collision prevention systems that have shown significant safety, efficiency, and operational downtime improvements. The alignment of this one, the alignment of this project would optimize the project timing for the July of 2024 award. It would minimize operational disruptions, and it would stay consistent with the current project schedule. With that being said, I'm happy to take any questions that you may have, but I'd like to put items L1 through L8 for your approval.
Don't move.
Any questions or comments?
Good question on 4. On the Coney cranes, are the RTG, I know that they outsourced their SDS cranes to China. Are these built in Finland, or are they outsourced to China also?
Poland.
But we're not going to have to worry about tariffs on these, right?
Correct.
question on four as well. These are our hybrids.
Yeah. Right?
And that brings our number, our total number of hybrid cranes or RTQs to what, 40%?
68 at 41.7%.
41.7%. I knew it was in the 40s. Well,
yeah.
And then the item number five is actually repurposing existing diesels into hybrids, right?
Correct.
So we're continuing to move forward on improving the air quality and improving the environmental efficiency of all of our RTQs ultimately.
Well, actually, five is, we already approved that last June.
Oh, yeah,
convert them. This is to put the safety in the
way. Oh, safety. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I got it.
But they are being converted.
Oh, okay. That's so good. Great. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Operation.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Three items on the agenda today for your consideration. But first, I want to take a few moments to provide a few volume and operational highlights for the month of February. Like Charlie mentioned, you know, for the month, total tonnage is down 5% across the public terminals. I'm here to tell you the good news is February's over, and moving on to March, where everything has signified a significant bounce back, and we're looking to close out a strong month. And more
on really foggy this morning, by the way.
So the channel was closed for about an hour and a half. An hour and a half didn't put us too far behind, but your point is well received. So according to Houston Pilot data for the month of February, fog and weather delays contributed to a 29% reduction in availability of our ship channel. Compare that to just 2.5% last year. And the way we measured it on our facilities was days impacted, and it's actually worse when you look at that, where 14 of the 28 days had some level of impact in February compared to only one the prior year. That was a completely different ballgame. Mother Nature was mad at us. So that led to, you know, the tonnage reduction, obviously. Overall tonnage at our multipurpose facilities was down 9% for the month, driven primarily by decreases in our liquid bulk and dry bulk imports at 12% and 37%, respectively. Good news on our multipurpose front, steel remains on track, up just over 1%. Barber's Cup Bayport saw 20 fewer vessels in February, contributing to a year-to-date volume drop of 4% in loaded containers, 15% for the month, impacting both import and export loads at a very similar rate. There's some other things that are in the works in the economy, obviously on the global scale, and some things local that also contributed to that, but with the bounce back we've been seeing, we think that weather was a significant driver, isolating us from the rest of the things that are going on in the supply chain. Despite all these challenges, you know, our relentless pursuit at the container terminals to improve terminal performance continues. I'm happy to report RTGO has been fully implemented at both facilities. Big thank you goes to the project team responsible for this, cross-functional group across the organization, and a special thank you to our partners at the ILA, because without that, this project would not be successful. System tuning continues, but the good news is our RTG fleet achieved an average productivity of over 14.5 moves per hour for the month. That's a nearly a 25% improvement over what we've been seeing over a sustained period. Now, that allowed us to provide a 40-minute truck turn time with minimal gate queue times to the 200,000 trucks that we served in those facilities in the month of February. Back to the agenda, three items for your consideration this month. Last item on the agenda is an amendment to Tariff 8, further clarifying our rules and restrictions for Class 7 shipments. The new language was actually derived from industry feedback to allow for the shipment of cobalt 60, commonly used in the medical field. USCO, Amy, our leader there, Chief Buck, are very comfortable with the new language. And of course, we remain compliant under the US Coast Guard. This just allows us to attract another segment of business. Happy to answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, I request your approval for M1 through M3.
Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Ryan.
Sir.
Yep, next is old Jessica in the back.
Hello again. Quick update this morning. We will be holding a community relations committee meeting following this meeting this morning. We'll be covering more detail our 2025 strategic goals priorities as it relates to our community engagement investment plan and our signature community engagement programs, as well as our maritime workforce future program. In addition, I just wanted to briefly highlight some progress on our community grant program for this year. As a reminder, the goal of this effort is to invest in organizations and programs that align with our current strategic initiatives and create meaningful impacts and outcomes. The 2025 Community Grants Program has an approved budget of $500,000 and officially opened on February 1st. We received a record 183 letters of interest this year. That is a huge increase. And after confirming eligibility and location, 157 organizations received invitations to complete our full application process. So just as a reminder, our award recommendations will be provided to the Community Relations Committee on June 24th. So that's coming up. We have one item under the People Division today on the agenda for your consideration. With the Workday transition and our ERP, in order to maintain continuity with our existing learning management system and avoid disruption to services on the launch of Workday, Port Authority staff recommends entering into a direct agreement with Skillsoft for a three-year period. Skillsoft integrates with the Port Authority's current and future learning management system, is the leading content developer of educational technology that produces learning management systems, software and content, as well as all of our compliance training suite as well. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Motion. Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, PFCO, we have no aye. Maybe thank you for you and your team keeping the port safe. Okay. Thompson.
Morning, Chairman. Commissioner.
How are you doing?
I am so happy. I'm going to thank Corey for all her hard work on the Fort Kingston Administration Building. If you haven't seen pictures, it looks phenomenal. Before getting to the five items on the agenda, I'd like to spend a little extra time this morning talking about three major programs and projects we've been working on, as we say we. Let me start with Next Generation Wireless. This multi-year program and related projects is substantially complete. The critical effort anticipates acceptance of what we call day two support. It's being targeted for the second full week of April. The implementation includes upgrades to indoor wireless port-wide and implementing outdoor cellular wireless for greater reliability, speed, and redundancy at both container terminals. This is a positive support for all the cargo that we move at the container terminals and every aspect of operations. I want to thank Ryan for his joint support and his team as well. That project and program was led by Ron Farrell. I'm going to call out the directors because they need to get their kudos. They deserve that right. Second status update is next gen information security, usually said more specifically cybersecurity program. We refreshed our documentation with a major undertaking. The team has completed the top two tiers of the documentation for compliance. This is a mouthful. The National Institute of Standards and Technology, version 2, or commonly known as NIST 2.0. The achievements align with the Coast Guard, Homeland Security mandates, and our MTSA regulated facility security plan. Furthermore, the team is aggressively working on documentation based on the notice for proposed rulemaking that was approved by the federal government in this January. Also worth mentioning, the first phase of multi-factor authentication, commonly called MFA, has been substantially completed, and that solution was provided by and paid for by a port security grant. Please stay tuned for additional items that will come before you in future meetings. The final status update, that's why I'm smiling, Next Generation ERP. We are proud to announce the first round of testing has been completely completed successfully. In fact, the dedicated team have accepted the call to challenge the status quo. This is so that we don't say this is how it's always been done. And they're revising and modifying and optimizing processes and procedures. The team is entering the planned reset phase over the next 2 weeks to address refinements applied to some specific processes in the workday system, because I want to be a rock star. There are three critical major milestones that we want to pay attention to. We call end-to-end testing, which is your dress rehearsal for go-live. There's the parallel payroll testing, which includes three tick and tie sessions for both our payroll runs. So we're going to get that right, because we don't want to stand in the newspaper and say somebody didn't get paid for it. And finally, the go-live prep and training. Our go-live is still targeted for December 2025, and we'll keep you updated as the year progresses. Assuming there are no questions after my long dialogue this morning, there are five items on the agenda for your consideration and approval. Items one and licenses, support for additional on-premise and storage to allow increase in camera captures for operational security, risk management, and legal. And finally, item four is for proactive fiber repairs in case someone breaks something when we're doing construction. And finally, item five is just a cosmetic minor review to a cybersecurity policy that we had approved back in 2018. For that, I stand asking for your acceptance or approval of items B1 through 5.
Motion. Second. Okay. Any comments or questions? I just want to say that I appreciate your goal of being a rock star.
Yeah.
Because it really is important. When my company went through the same thing you're going through, and I know you've had conversations with our CIOs and others, I wasn't paid. We had some glitches.
There are some. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's not going to happen here. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Chairman, just a quick question for Charles. You know, I'm very big on KPIs and accountability. How do we know when you become a rock?
Yeah, that's a good question. Another earring. Second earring. I was going to say a second earring would be it. Now that'll be the trick.
Or maybe a diamond. All right, we will now go reset into executive session. Eric, you want to take a 5 minute break? And then I'll go ahead and have you call it back. Okay.
Are you all happy?
Good.
Yes.
Okay.
Jesse.
How are you? Who's counting time now? Take a call.
Now 10:18 a.m. The Board Commission of the 40th Authority of Harris County, Texas, will now convene a closed meeting as permitted by Texas Open Meeting Act to conduct private consultation with attorneys, including consultation regarding 19 U.S.C. 2101 at the speak and 19 U.S.C. 1862 U.S.C. real estate, economic development negotiations and incentives, employment evaluation of public officers and employees, including deliberations regarding employment of the former executive director of the Port Authority and other matters related thereto, and security-related matters, including deliberations regarding cybersecurity and control matters. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed session is adjourned. Thank you.
March 25th, 2025, we are now back in regular session of the Port Commission meeting. Anything?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, I move to authorize the Port Authority to approve a consulting agreement with RG Maritime Advisors, LLC, on the terms discussed in the executive session, and authorize the Chief Executive Officer to do all other things reasonably and necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Motion.
Second.
Sorry. Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will move.
Go ahead.
I move to authorize the Port Authority to enter into an agreement with the U.S. Coast Guard Cyber Command for services including cybersecurity risk assessment and advice on the terms discussed in executive session, and authorize the chief executive officer to do all other things reasonable or necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second. All perfect. All right.
That's it.
Okay, great. All right. Well, nothing else to discuss at this meeting. Our next meeting is on April the 29th, 2025. So we can adjourn the meeting at this point.
And we'll so move.